In the triad of North Carolina, where Emerald Hills roll, the Sharp Loan Team is on a mission to achieve housing goals. With St. Patrick's Day coming, it's a time of luck and cheer. Let's seize the moment and make your dream home appear. Like a pot of gold at Rainbow's End, your perfect house awaits. You'll need a pre-approval to have better rates. In the fields of Winston-Salem, where four-leaf clovers grow, we'll guide you through the process, keeping you in the know. This March, when it's warmer and luck and magic fill the air, your home sweet home is waiting for your tender, loving care. So don't delay. Reach out today and let's embark on this quest with luck and expertise. We'll ensure you're truly blessed. Together, we'll find your treasure at Rainbow's shining end. With the Sharp Loan Team, you'll always have a friend.
I'm undefeated, for the most part, unscored on. The only points I gave up were points I gave to people. And I tech fought in regionals. I pinned in states. I'm fine with the way I did. I'm happy with the way I did it.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.
Taylor Williams has made history. The trailblazing sophomore at East Forsyth High School earned the first ever state championship awarded by the North Carolina High School Athletic Association in the women's division of wrestling. That's right. The 165-pound title-bearing Williams used youth football and her ability to overcome certain stigmas and often even her own fiery emotions as a springboard into competing on the mat. Up a weight class from where she was at the club level a year ago, Williams blitzed through her competition this season, finishing a perfect 26-0 and while giving up only one takedown and one near fall all season. Williams cruised through the opening round, quarterfinals, and semifinals in convincing fashion in mid-February at the Greensboro Coliseum, defeating opponents she had previously already faced. And then there was a new test waiting in the 165-pound final, someone she hadn't wrestled before, presenting a new kind of challenge and upping the difficulty level to what she was on the verge of achieving. Taylor Williams was game for it. This is the story of Taylor's journey to the mat, the euphoria after becoming the state's first female wrestling champion, and the future chapters of her story that will remain unwritten for now, but that's not to say she isn't thinking about them. I'm Kyle Schatzberger, host of Triad Sports One-on-One. I hope you enjoy the conversation with East Forsyth's Taylor Williams. Taylor, you're a pretty big deal. Big time to have you on. First girl to win a sanctioned state championship in wrestling. How have you been handling all the glitz and glam? You've turned into a local celebrity.
I mean, it was just me adjusting. I have really never gotten that much popularity and stuff. So it was weird at first, but I'm starting to adjust to it now.
I sense a significant level of humility for sure. You were just recognized. We're recording on Friday, so earlier this week. But when folks are listening, it'll be last week that you recognized at a school board meeting. What was that moment like?
It was kind of the same way. It was my first time being recognized, especially by myself up on a stage in front of people.
Take me back to the mat and that moment. Greensboro Coliseum floor last month in February. We'll get into the details of how this achievement came to be in your journey into wrestling, but take me through the finish. What did you see from your opponent, Winston Yarborough of Cleveland, that allowed you to take home the title?
I know I watched her match right after my, I think, either quarterfinal or semifinal match. We watched her, and I knew she liked to club a lot. So my first takedown was off of that when she went to club. I knew I had to get under it because I'm not really a person who likes to tie up a lot. I know how to, but I just don't really like tying up because I feel like I like working from space. So I knew that much. She liked to tie up a lot. So I had to be quick on my feet. And then I just had to make sure I didn't make mistakes that she could use to her advantage.
For those that don't know, and I learned quite a bit preparing for this visit with Taylor here today, there are three periods. You led 9-1 going into the final and third period of this championship match. There were only seconds remaining when you secured the championship sealing pin. Were you aware of this?
Mm-hmm.
In the moment you knew time was ticking down, did that create some added pressure for you and urgency?
No, not really. I knew either way I would win, either by points or I know my coaches were fine with where I was, but I know one of my coaches said he liked that I got greedy and went for the pin. So, because I wanted to pin in state finals.
For sure. It seems like a much cooler element to what you were achieving. And again, one of several girls throughout the day that would earn the first ever girls state championship. First time this year that the event has been sanctioned by the NCHSAA, but you were the first to do it at the Coliseum last month. So yeah, by pinfall and rolling your opponent, Winston Yarborough, Andor Vaca, certainly take me through the emotions, because did it take a moment to kind of realize when it happened, either in congratulating your opponent or when the official raised your right arm and declared you the state champion? When was it that things started to sink in for you on what you had accomplished?
I knew I had won and stuff, but it kind of seemed surreal until I think maybe a week and a half ago. Like, I realized I had won states, but it didn't really sink in that I was a state champion until, like I said, like a week ago or so.
And Winston, who you wrestled, you hadn't competed with her before, correct? What kind of additional challenges did that create? Because my understanding is that weekend, the championship format, you know, each of the previous, I think it was three rounds until you got to the championship match, which was the fourth time that you were competing. You had seen those participants before. You had wrestled, I think, your first round opponent twice before, but Winston, you had it. So, you know, talk to me about the scout and what's going through your head ahead of time. You said you watched your opponent after your initial match in the semifinals to kind of get a better understanding of her. But how much more challenging is that when you haven't wrestled with someone before?
I think it's a lot more challenging because you don't really know what they're going to do. I know when you wrestle someone, you know what they're going to do. You know how they move. You know what moves you can do on them to score. But against her, it was a lot harder.
Your favorite takedown move? I know you said you like to work in space. You don't like to grapple. You want to be more aggressive, I take it. Is there something that, when you get onto the mat with any opponent, whether it was the championship match or otherwise, that you're specifically looking for in your opponent and diagnosing their weakness and how you can exploit it?
My go-to move for this season has been a sweep, because last year I wrestled 152 and I could get back down to it, but my coaches wanted me to stay at 65 because I had the speed advantage. So I could get out to the side a lot more, and because I weigh so much less.
What about the challenger in the championship match, Winston Yarborough? She's somebody that wrestled at a heavier weight before, was she not? So I think she was at 185, I had read, and was down at the 165. Your weight, 165, how difficult is it, if at all, to stay in that range? And you were playing up, you know, 13 pounds more than you were your freshman year.
I mean, I guess it's really, it wasn't as hard as I thought it would be. I know it was definitely harder just size-wise, because I couldn't hit as many moves, because people are a lot more muscular. They throw a lot more. Like, there were only a handful of girls that I saw take actual shots in 165. And when they did, they weren't shots that really challenged me like how they did at 152.
Were you nervous ahead of this championship match? Any anxiety beforehand?
I was nervous all throughout states, even my first round, because I knew, even though I had beaten all three of those people, it's a lot bigger stage. So one mistake and it could take me down immediately.
Yeah, and I read,
my ultimate goal was getting the state, becoming a state champion, and just one mistake could put you on your back and it could take you away from your goal.
And I'd read your coaches said felt you were the favorite going in. Part of it is, yeah, of course they're going to say that. You know, you're the one on their team that they're coaching up and developing up. But, you know, truly they felt that way. I think a lot of people did. Did that induce any added pressure? And what kind of pressure maybe had you put on yourself, knowing a championship was in your grasp, but also knowing the historical circumstances around it?
I know I did put a lot of pressure on myself, but I think them believing that I was the favorite going in, it helped boost my confidence, but it was my own self that put a lot of pressure on myself. I don't really remember how, because I was so focused on my matches and stuff, but I do remember feeling a lot of pressure. I think it was just from being nervous of making a mistake.
Tell me about the focus. You mentioned that word there. What do you do to focus, maybe lock in, before an event, not just the championship, but I'm sure you've got maybe some superstitions or a certain routine you like to follow. Take me through your pre-match routine.
I know anybody can tell you, if you see me, I'm usually with my headphones, even like off the mat, on the mat, when I'm warming up, right before I start drilling, I always have my headphones in. So I listen to music a lot to lock in, and I warm up a lot. I know I warmed up with my drill partner, who's been my drill partner since my freshman season. She made it to States too. I know we had one of our guys there to help warm up because he was smaller, so I could do more moves on him. And then I had my coach help me warm up too, just for higher intensity.
What kind of music are you listening to? You had your headphones on before we started this interview. I kindly asked you to take them off just because the Bluetooth and the microphone. Look, we want this audio quality to be as superb as it can be. And look, the headphones can look great. I love them. I spend a lot of time training and working out myself. You know, you got to look good, feel good, and the music is a big part of that. But what do you got blaring into the eardrums of Taylor Williams ahead of a match?
I mean, I listen to everything except for, I guess, rock and country. But it really just depends on the mood, I guess. During championships, I listen to a lot of more slower songs, more songs that not really would get me hype, more to just calm me down because I was so nervous. I know I have a pre-match playlist, but I didn't use it during regionals or States. I used different playlists for those.
Before we pivot and get to how Taylor Williams became a wrestler, you mentioned your drill partner. Now, for the novice, you know, wrestler people out there, explain to me what drill is and drilling down as part of your pre-match routine and a drill partner. Take me through what exactly that is so we get a better visual.
Drilling is kind of like a wrestling match, but you focus on the moves that you know you want to hit, the moves that you know you're going to want to hit. Like, for example, when I was getting ready for my opponents, I don't really just do anything. We focus a lot on the stuff that I know I'll have to use if my, based on the opponent I'm going against. Like, I guess I could use Yabara as an example again. She liked to club, so I knew I had to get under it and watch the tie-ups because she liked to tie up a lot. So I know I worked a lot on sweeps, elbow passes, just ducking under the arm, a lot of different finishes to pins.
Anybody in the gym in Milwaukee?
Sorry about that.
No, you're good.
I know. I mostly worked on, like I said, I worked on a lot of sweeps. I worked on a lot of finishes. I didn't really get to use the stuff I wanted to on top because of the way she worked on bottom. She didn't really just, she kind of just sat there. So I had to use something different. I know I've used a claw right before, but that's really what I worked on a lot during the match. So I use that a lot. I use sweeps and claw rides a lot. It just depends on the opponent.
You mentioned technique there. How do you think you've most grown as a wrestler?
My freshman year, well, the first year of wrestling in general is just learning the basics. So I know nothing really clicked for me until I got to regionals. Like, if you watched my last match, and then how I wrestled in regionals, there's a clear difference between how I wrestle because you start to understand moves more. You understand how a match goes more. You're better conditioned for it. It's just learning the sport the first year. So I guess my second year, I really focused on picking the moves I wanted to use and refining those, getting better at them.
When the weather warms up, so does the real estate market. Sounds obvious, right? It's true. Spring typically means more home sales. But how will the current interest rates affect people's decisions? What about inventory? Is it high or low? And does that benefit the buyer or the seller? And how do those factors take into account a certain price point or area of the triad? Now it's not so obvious, is it? That's why you should turn to the Ginther Group to make sense of it all. You need someone you can rely on to assess your situation, read the data and trends, and steer you in the right direction. Interest rates, inventory, even new construction. There are so many factors that impact our local market, and you should get your information from the folks right here in our backyard. Contact Blake Ginther and the Ginther Group today, 336-283-8689, or visit theginthergroup.com. Buying, selling, investing, or just learning, whatever you need, start now. And like me, you can become a Ginther Group client for life.
I think it was one of your coaches, one of the assistants, Chad Sapp, who is on the record as saying that really you learn to understand better the mental aspect to go along with the progressions that you were already making technically and, you know, the athleticism that was already there and still very much improving. Okay, Taylor. So the question, I think, and we've waited about 15 minutes before getting to why and how, but this is, I think, going to be a lot of people's favorite parts. So the question is, how did you get into wrestling? This, again, was just your second year competing. You finished fourth as a freshman a year ago in the NCHSAA Girls Invitational, completed a perfect 26-0 ledger as a sophomore that ended with you as the first ever champion of the 165-pound division this year. So why wrestling? How did it come to be?
I have a background in football, flag football and tackle. I played for AAU at a sports organization. And my mom, going into high school, my mom knew the football competition was a lot higher. So she recommended wrestling because it was still a physical sport, but she felt like I'd be better at it than I would be going into high school football. So I didn't really want to try it at first because I just didn't know how to feel about it because it was never a sport I really looked into. But she really wanted me to try it, so I tried it, and I ended up sticking with it.
You played football when growing up. You were in Texas, right? When did you move to North Carolina? Was it just in Texas that you played football?
No, I only played football in North Carolina. I wanted to play football in Texas, but I was really stubborn, so I didn't really like listening to people. That was the problem. So
that's okay. It's all part of growing up and your development. When did you move to NC?
I moved back when I was in third grade, when I was okay. Eight. Like May of like 2018, maybe 2017, somewhere around there.
So I have so many questions about the football aspect. Was it hard being the only girl? Were you the only girl? I'm assuming you are, but I don't want to assume wrongly. What position did you play?
I played a lot of positions. I know during the AAU, we didn't have a big team, so I played a lot of defense. I was best at linebacker, but I know when I got into middle school football in Raleigh, they had me as safety. They had me as a backup linebacker, but I was a lot better at safety. They had me at safety, a backup linebacker, but I was a lot better at being a linebacker than I was a safety.
What kind of response were you given by the other boys, coaches, and even parents as a girl out there playing football and bumping elbows with all the boys?
I was really respected. They didn't really care that there was a girl on the team. There was actually a second girl. She also played defense, but she played linebacker. She was also a backup linebacker.
How did playing football and being the only girl help prepare you for what you were walking into? Now that you've got 2 years of wrestling under your belt, what did football do to help you with that transition?
I think just the physical strength of it. I mean, wrestling is such a different sport. You don't move like how you do in other sports. And on top of that, the conditioning is different. I know a lot of people will be like, oh, I run track. I can run like 3 miles. I'm ready for wrestling. Or I play soccer. I have to run back and forth for an entire game. I'm fine. I can do wrestling. Or I'm a football player. Of course I can wrestle. And then they get out there, and a minute and 30 seconds in, they're gassed. It's like different type of conditioning.
I'm curious how you've handled and if you've had to deal with this sort of reaction from anyone from playing football to wrestling and being a female. Has anybody ever said to you, hey, you're a girl, you shouldn't be doing that? And what would you say to them who would question what it is that you're doing?
I know there was a few people back when I wrestled in AAU who were like, why is a girl playing football and stuff? And I was a bit of a hothead too. So I would get upset and stuff, but I also knew that I could just show them that why I was playing the sport and I was good at the sport. Wrestling, you didn't really get that reaction. I think you were a lot more, you'd be a lot more respected playing wrestling as a female than football as a female, because football, most people are like, oh, this is a male sport. They don't even do tackle football for females at all. So why would you even try to play if you're not going to make it to a pro level? But in wrestling, people recognize, oh, she, even though she's a girl, she could still put me on my back.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Yeah.
You can inflict some damage. Plus, it's a sanctioned, you know, sport collegiately as well in the Olympics, which I know you have an interest in. I'll ask you about that. Tell me about your inspiration, though. Who do you look up to? Where do you draw inspiration from in your journey, either in your everyday life, at school, and in sports?
I know my parents played a lot into it because, you know, they're the ones I live with every day. They're the ones who support me. They're the ones who get me to club. They get me to practice. They get me to matches. Matches, tournaments. They make sure I have everything I need. They buy me stuff that I need. They get me treatment that I need when I do get injured. I know my coaches have been there. They've really been there for me since my freshman year. I feel like it's good to have a bond with your coaches, because it really plays a lot into how the athlete responds to stuff. A lot of people were there. The staff at the school, my teammates, my friends who knew I wrestled, my club coaches, my friends from club. I mean, I feel like a lot of people will be like, oh, they're from a different school. You shouldn't be around them. You shouldn't be talking to this coach. You already have coaches when you go to club and stuff. But it's like, wrestling is a community. It's a small, entangled community. So I feel like the more connections you have, the better.
It's time to get serious about your financial future. It's never too early, but it could be too late to get started. And that's oftentimes the hardest part. Getting started. How much do I save? Where do I invest? Do I save for college or retirement? How much for each? And who do I talk to about it all? Okay, we'll keep things simple for now and help you answer the last one. We recommend you begin with a local financial advisor. And that's Jennifer Johnson of Three Magnolias Financial Advisors. She'll sit down with you for a complimentary introductory consultation and go over all of your questions. Get started on the path to achieving your financial goals. Visit 3magnoliasfinancialadvisors.com or call 336-701-1600. Get comfortable with your financial future. 3 Magnolias Financial Advisors. Retirement, financial planning, and investments. Securities offered through Cetera Advisor Networks, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through 3 Magnolias Financial Advisors. 3 Magnolias Financial Advisors and Cetera Advisor Networks are not affiliated. Cetera is under separate ownership from any other named entity.
What's your diet like in season? And how is it different from, you know, now having completed your sophomore year? And if you could talk about maybe the training, how grueling, the preparation. You mentioned treatment and how much your parents have invested in the process to help keep your body right, and all of those around you. That support group is endless, which is awesome, Taylor. But tell me about your diet, and then, you know, training and preparation overall. How difficult is it?
My diet, I know when I was at 52, I was a lot stricter with my diet because I had to cut down to get there. But once I got down to 52, I was fine. But 65, I had a lot more leeway to eat. So I didn't really eat as strict, like proteins like chicken, fruits all the time, water. I know I ate some stuff I'd indulge some in some like sweets sometimes, or like some unhealthy foods. But I mean, to keep your body conditioned, you still have to eat right. So for the most part, I ate right. It'd just be small little cheat meals and stuff. As for the training, conditioning, you have to condition a different way. Like, cardio isn't going to help at all. You can run 4 miles and still get gas in a match. I think the best type of conditioning is like a full body workout. Like, you drill hard to get your conditioning up, you go live at the end of practice, and then you condition after, because it builds up your stamina.
Well, it's good to know running 4 miles isn't going to help me because I do that most days. I get at least 20 miles a week running, try to take a couple of days off. But yeah, I never thought I'd be able to get on a mat, even with you. Like, no, thank you. You would destroy me. Let's talk plans after East Forsyth. At college, what kind of thought have you given it? What schools maybe have reached out? I'm not sure what exactly you can share. I do know you have an interest in the Olympics. There are also some pretty prominent Division I institutions that do sanction women's wrestling. I did a little homework last night. Iowa, Yale, Sacred Heart, Presbyterian, Liberty, Lindenwood, Cal Polytechnic among those D1 schools. OK State is a D3 school. Greensboro College even sanctions wrestling, if you want to say super close to home. How much have you thought about all this, and what are your thoughts about, you know, wrestling at the next level?
I just really started getting into the college aspect, but I know it's going to be a wait because women's wrestling is just now getting into college more. So I know there are only 4 D1 schools for women. I know there's Iowa. There's 2 other ones. There's 1 in Missouri. There's 1 in South Carolina. And then... I think Greensboro College is D1 too. I can't remember, but I know there are only 4 colleges right now, but there are a lot of D2 and D3 schools. I know my coaches want me to focus on the D1 school because of my potential, but right now I'm not really too worried about college, like college scholarships. I know I'm thinking about it, but I'm not really, really rushed about it until maybe the end of my junior year, the middle.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, look, blinders, focus on you one day at a time. You're not even halfway, you know, through your amateur career yet. In high school, your prep career, you finished 2 seasons wrestling, but, you know, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of interest coming in for you to field and weed out and take visits. There will be time for that. But the fact that, yeah, you are thinking of it, you are aware that that is an avenue for you is really cool. And the Olympics, I mean, 4 years from now, they're going to be in Los Angeles. You'd be in school. But tell me about the Olympics and that passion or that dream and what that means to you.
I know last summer I started watching a lot of Olympics, like the Olympic trials. I really got into that because I wanted to see what it was like at the next level. And I'm glad I did, because when I first started wrestling, I looked up videos and stuff on how to get better, like moves I could get better at. And I watched this video and I remember it was 2 women wrestling and one just got suplexed. And I was like, I don't think that's legal in the wrestling I do. I don't think I can do that in high school. And now looking at the Olympic trials, I realized that, oh, this is freestyle wrestling. It's completely different from folk style.
Yeah, freestyle. Explain that real quick. What you do in high school is called what? And then, yeah, the Olympic wrestling, it's quote unquote freestyle. There's more maneuvering, more freedom.
Folk style, it's a more safer, more based on technique. Like you can't, for example, you can't suplex. I know people associate wrestling with a suplex a lot. You can't take someone backwards. You have to think about the safety of the other person. You have to have them controlled when you're throwing them. The highest score move you can do is like a 5-point move, and that's because of a takedown and 3 near fall because of the count. There's 2 takedowns, 1 for escape. You can get a 2-point near fall with a 3 count, and if you get the full 5 count, it's a 3-point near fall. And then minor decision is less than a 9-point difference. A major decision is 9 points or more. A tech fall is when you're winning by 15 or more points. And then a fall is when they're on their back and they get stuck. But in freestyle, 1 point is a push out. If they step out of bounds, then that's 1 point. There is 2 points for a regular takedown. There's 4 points for when they go feet to back. And then 5-point move is when they go their heels overhead. So when they go, like, you know what I'm talking about, like a suplex, heels overhead.
Quite the education you're giving us. I love it. This is awesome. We're all going to be, much smarter from listening. Certainly I am, in having this conversation with you. Taylor, we got to let you go. I know you got to get back to class. You're a state champion wrestler. Taylor, that's pretty awesome. Forever etched in history. One more note too, Troy Lambert, your head coach, 27 years at East Forsyth, never had a state champion wrestler. What does it mean to be able to provide him such a moment?
I know that was my main motivation. I wanted to win for myself and for my team, because I know we haven't had a state champion in nearly 15 years or so. So it was really good, but I know I wanted to give two of my coaches, Coach Lambert and also my other coach, Coach Askew, their first champion that they actually actively coached. And then one of my other coaches, Coach Sapp, he's retiring this year. So I wanted to give him a good run. And I feel like I did. I only gave up one takedown and one near fall this year. And it was to a person I don't mind giving it up to, because I know her personally. I know she's a good wrestler. So I don't want to give up any more points this year, but I'm not upset with how I did this year. I mean, I'm undefeated for the most part, unscored on. The only points I gave up were points I gave to people. And I tech fought in regionals. I pinned in states. I'm fine with the way I did. I'm happy with the way I did it.
Would be hard not to be. I mean, it's an incredible year. You just outlined it beautifully. Perfect, undisputed state champion wrestler at 165 pounds. First girl to be crowned in the first year that the NCHSAA sanctioned girls wrestling, 26-0, sending one of your coaches, Chad Sapp, riding off into the sunset with a state championship as he heads into retirement. And when the lights were brightest, you certainly shine, Taylor, and, you know, beaming in every stretch of the imagination, both you as a person, as a wrestler, I'm sure as a classmate, as a student, all of those things. The future is very bright for you, Taylor. So best of luck the rest of the way. Okay. We'll all be following.
Thank you.
Scintillating stuff with Taylor Williams, sophomore wrestler, student athlete at East Forsyth High School, earning the first ever girls state championship title, a banner day for the sport across the state of North Carolina, and for several young girls across the state who decided to take their talents to the mat. But the first to win and have her right arm raised was Taylor Williams at 165. Thanks to Alan Plaster, longtime AD at East Forsyth, and helping to get Taylor on. Again, the future, oh so bright for Miss Williams. Look forward to tracking her progress as she continues to ascend both in high school and in wrestling and throughout the rest of her life. Thanks to Taylor for going one-on-one. I'm your host, Kyle Schatzberger. Follow me on Twitter, on Instagram, at Kyle Schatz. Follow Taylor on Instagram, _TheTayWilliams_. This has been Triad Sports One-on-One.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode on the Triad Podcast Network. Our mission is simple: provide information, advice, and stories about the people and places that make the North Carolina Triad such a great place to be. You can find us by searching Triad Podcast Network on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much wherever you like to listen. If you like what you heard and want to support the show and those that contribute, we would truly appreciate a rating and review on your favorite podcast app. It helps spread the word along, as do your shares on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Triad Podcast. To get in touch with us, simply email info@triadpodcast.com. Thanks for listening.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.